Are you lacking fulfillment in life?
You know when you're going to be totally fulfilled as a person? You know when you will experience self-actualization? When you die. And then you're going to go, okay, good. In the meantime, we are all going through painful awarenesses and lack of awarenesses and all the things that you go through when you build a life and when you discover an identity. It isn't easy. It's certainly not comfortable, but that's how fulfillment comes. Fulfillment comes when you die. The process of getting to death, hey, it's often difficult.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Welcome to The Balanced Word. Do you sort of feel like a bird flapping your wings, but you're really not going anywhere in life? Maybe you're randomly bouncing through life, lacking identity and purpose. Where do you fit in? And what does God have for you? Well, today can be your day to stop wandering as you grab hold of God's great plan and purpose for your life. Here's Dave Rolfe in the Proverbs, pointing the way to smarter living.
There are some people who just have an exaggerated sense of their own importance. They have a superiority complex. They aren't willing to do anything that they think is beneath them. There are other people, and it's just as destructive, when someone has such an inferiority complex that they just think, I just don't think I have a role in life at all. I don't think I'm not special enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not a string on anybody's harp. I don't really have a place in life. I'm just hanging in there and trying to survive. To go to either extreme, either to inflate your own sense of importance or to deflate your own sense of importance will cause you to never figure out who you are. Some of the people that I've met who are the most certain of their identity are completely wrong about their identity. They're like totally clueless. I have people who, you know, sometimes come to me and I'm just listening to their story. Or I had one this week who was like, he believes that his role in life is to go and correct pastors who are wrong about something. And it's like, man, good luck with that. But it's so sad because functioning in some sort of delusion about who they are, it's like the old Jim Croce song about the guy that was working in the car wash, but he knew that he ought to be sitting in an executive position in an office talking trash to a secretary smoking on a big cigar. A lot of people are just that way. They think, oh, I should really, you know, I don't think I want to help in church with setting up chairs. I should actually be in a stadium preaching to hundreds of thousands of people. It's amazing how many people really believe that that's who they are. As a result, they can't enjoy who they really are because of these delusions of grandeur. At the same time, there are people who have so much to offer, and yet they just think, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. I don't think I fit anywhere. I haven't. And so they don't find their place. Sin is also something that'll cause you to lose your place. Sin is something that causes you, the word for sin in the New Testament, hamartia, is a word that takes the word meros, which means your portion, your part, and it says not. See, sin just means that you do things that really, you're better than that. You do things that fall short, that rob you of discovering who you really are. And every one of us, the Bible says, everybody sins. So when we look at our lives and we realize, man, I don't even know who I am, we have to consider that part of it is because we're really living a life that's below what God really has for us. We're really not grabbing a hold of our potential because we just don't want to do the things that we know we're supposed to do. You can never be the person that you were created to be if your life is being dominated by doing things that rob you of who you're designed to be. And so sin can do that. There's a lot of Proverbs that talk about sin in terms of somebody who won't stay home, somebody who won't stay where they are supposed to be. You know, some people just don't listen to others, or they don't face the obvious results of what they try to do. It is important for us to have an element of wandering and experimentation in discovering who we really are. But there are some people who fail at things so miserably and so consistently, and yet they just can't see it. They decide. This is a 29-year-old guy who's playing minor league baseball, believing that he's going to get his break at any time. At some point, you just go, it's sad. Yeah, you know, when you were 21, I thought you might make it too, but man, there's some point in which you just have to know when to quit because you're doing something that really isn't you. And so I think that in some ways, not being honest about the fact that what I'm doing isn't really working can get in the way of us discovering what it is that we really are supposed to do. It's like when you're in a relationship with someone and you know it's not working, but it's like, well, bad relationship is better than no relationship at all. And as a result, you find yourself in a spot where you're kind of settling, and at the same time, you're kind of going, well, but I don't know. This doesn't seem quite right. We miss out so often when we can't read the obvious signs in terms of hearing whether we're actually functioning in our giftedness. Now, anything that you do at first is going to be clumsy and awkward. But to never learn that, hey, when you're doing what you're born to do, at some point it starts to click, is what causes people to waste their whole lives not doing what they're really called to do because they just don't want to accept the fact that maybe they were wrong. Maybe that isn't their thing. I think also what holds us back from really discovering our identity is short-sightedness. One of the most important functions of an adult, and neuroscientists would say, you don't really get this ability in to a great extent until your brain has developed like for 25 years, but the capacity to be able to defer your gratification. Some people, by the way, way older than 25, still haven't learned this. That I will endure discomfort now because of something good that's going to happen later. And so if you're short-sighted, and quite often in our culture, this means I don't want to do anything that's uncomfortable. So I've tried different things. They're all uncomfortable. I guess I'm just going to be, you know, just that person that wanders all the time. That's just randomly, constantly changing friends, changing jobs, changing houses, changing, you know, everything in my life, because everywhere I go, it's uncomfortable. We have this comfort myth that, sadly, Christians a lot of times promote this. It starts with telling somebody, is life just really miserable and uncomfortable? Well, come to Jesus. You pray this prayer, everything is going to feel amazing. And every one of us who's prayed that prayer knows it's totally not the truth. But we all try to act like we're comfortable because we don't want people to discover that it was sort of a ruse, that somehow accepting Jesus will make you comfortable. There's, you know, we tell kids, you know, did you have fun at school? Did you have fun in Sunday school? Was this fun? Was that fun? We promote this idea. And even as Christians, we'll tell people, how do you know God's will? Well, ultimately, it comes down to feeling a peace, we say. Well, how much peace do you think Jesus felt when he's in the garden, sweating like drops of blood, crying out in agony and basically kind of arguing with the Father? Isn't there some other way here? Do you think he felt peace? Do you think when they humiliated him, stripped him, beat him, spit in his face, nailed him to a cross, do you think he was just going, oh, this is so special? And yet, we promote those kinds of myths. And what happens is, if you cannot handle discomfort, you'll never figure out who you really are. Because everything that you will ever accomplish and everything that you will ever be, to discover your identity, it's going to depend on you being willing to be uncomfortable in order to decide and to discover and to begin to practice and to enjoy what God actually has for you. We can look in life for fulfillment. And there's a psychological term, self-actualization. It's the idea, Carl Rogers talked about it a lot, probably Abraham Maslow is best known for focusing on self-actualization. And the idea is that you will begin to develop in life, and then you will get to the point where you are who you were supposed to be. And a lot of us have that notion programmed into us. That's why most people are disappointed in marriage when it doesn't become self-actualizing. When marriage after many years is in some ways just as difficult as it was in the beginning. And we've bought into this myth that at some point you will have arrived. And when I talk about your calling in life, when I talk about your identity, who are you? Where is your nest? The fact that you're going, I'm still not 100% sure, that's normal, that's natural. See, nests aren't made to be comfortable. Nests are built over time. But a bird who has a nest doesn't spend all their time flittering. They spend a lot of their time gathering twigs and bringing them back, putting the pieces of their life together in a way that they begin to see the picture develop. But hey, it doesn't always just look perfect. It's not so obvious. It's not so easy. You know when you're going to be totally fulfilled as a person? You know when you will experience self-actualization? When you die. And then you're going to go, okay, good. In the meantime, we are all going through painful awarenesses and lack of awarenesses and all the things that you go through when you build a life and when you discover an identity. It isn't easy. It's certainly not comfortable. But that's how fulfillment comes. Fulfillment comes when you die. The process of getting to death, hey, it's often difficult. And yet, if you have a sense of your identity, if you know who you are, if you can look at life and go, here's who I think God has made me, here's a couple of sentence summaries of who I am, then you're on the path that He wants you. It's a nest. It's not a birdhouse. It's not like flying around until you find a great life and then you can just stay there and somebody's just going to keep feeding you. The journey is in a lot of ways the reward, is really a lot of times the definition, but it's going through life and figuring out more and more who you are and who you're not. I think a lot of people never discover who they are and never get to that point of a secure identity just because of greed. Most of the things in life that are good make you think that if this is good, then if I get more, it's going to be even better. And it doesn't matter what it is. You can buy exactly the car that you want, and it's an amazing car. And you know, they're so fun. Driving a car is really fun when you watch the commercials, because it's just like, well, my kid's crying, so I'm going to throw him in the car, and we're going to drive all night. That'll be really fun. But then the new model comes out, or you see another car, and you're like, I know why my kid kept crying even when I'm driving him around in my Hyundai, because I needed a Ferrari to do it. I know little kids love Ferraris, and we begin to always think, it's got to be more. We got to have more of this. I have to get better. I have to be on a self-improvement kick. And to never, ever be able to look at your life and say, I have enough. That doesn't mean that you just stop ever changing anything in your life. You're designed to change. But what it means is, you know what? With what I have right now, with who I am right now, I am content. I'm blessed. Whatever the future holds, great. But I'm not going to sit here and say, this stinks now, but if I make these changes, boy, that's going to be great. That's a recipe for never really discovering who you are at all. That's a recipe for misery in life. For those of us who look at our lives and we go, I don't know who I am, really. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm trying a lot of different things, and that's great if you're 19, but at some point, there's something wrong if we have lived our lives this long and we're still young enough that we actually remember our life and we're looking at it and going, I have no clue. I don't have any idea ultimately of who I am. Now, your identity, your nest, it might be complicated with multiple pieces to it for sure, but it's so important for us to, in order to live life the way God wants us to live, we need to have a nest. We need to have a place. We need to have an identity. We have to get over just randomly bouncing through life because life is short. Life just races by. And we look and go, how did I ever spend that much time doing that? What do I have that has even lasted at all? Who am I ultimately? Now, I want you to understand that God does have a place for you in this life. Don't believe the lies that would say, well, you're disposable. You're there, you're not there, it doesn't really matter, nobody cares. That's the saddest thing, when people just feel like, I don't even know who I am. I'm not sure what my role is. Now, again, your roles may change through the years. You may discover that, wow, where at one point you thought your career was the most important thing, and then you discover actually grandkids are way more important than your career ever was. But you're somebody who did what you did, and now you're doing what you do, and you go, like Jesus, for this I was born, and for this came I into the world. Whatever your role currently is, he does have a plan for you, and you really do have a place. And to just wander is to say that, you know, no, I really don't. There is no nest. There is no identity. There is no purpose in my life. God has a place for you. And that place is built one twig at a time. That place is built as you chip away, as you a little of this and a little of that, but it's far from random because you're guided by a sense of vision. You're guided by a sense of, I know this about me, and therefore I'm going to do these things in order to begin to open up more doors for me to do what I'm really designed to do. But be content with your part. Your part is great. It's a part of something greater. But no man is an island, and you are not designed to just do your life. You are designed to be connected, and your place is something that God has given you. The gifts, the talents, the experience, the passions, everything that you are is designed to make you fit somewhere, not just to randomly wander. And ultimately, what I want to suggest to you is, the best way to figure out where you live, where your nest is, the best way to figure out your personal identity is to listen to God very carefully, is to let him know when you're frustrated, but listen and see what he says. And I know if you've never really given your life to the Lord, if you've never really accepted Jesus, maybe that just sounds psychotic, but first, I just want to talk to the people who do say, I do have a relationship with God. He has changed my life. He has made a difference. You need to spend quality time with him because nobody knows you better than he does, and nobody loves you more than he does. And so if you are just rushing through life and there's no time just to get alone with him and to listen to him, that time is more important than anything else that you're doing with your time. And you've just got to carve out a place where you can do that because he will speak. You're not going to hear, you know, lightning coming through the ceiling and a loud booming voice probably. If you do, you might want to, you know, check into a place and have them look at that. But at the same time, now, if you don't know him, I have great news for you, because I'm telling you about a God who knows you better than anyone does. Nothing about you grosses him out. Nothing about you makes him turn away from you. Nothing about you makes him say, "That's it." He knows you so well, and he loves you so much. And if you don't know who you are, you start by getting to know him, by discovering who you are with the one who made you. He's the one who designed you, made you the way you are, and he knows best where you fit. He knows best how to rescue you from your random wanderings. And if you've never done this, today would be a great time for you to just start over and to go, "Man, I don't know who I am. I don't know what my identity is. I don't know what God has for me." But all you do is you just come to him. And there'll be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you if you'd like to start life over. Because you really can. It's possible to just kind of wipe the slates and then look at your life with the one who designed you, helping you, leading you. And boy, you can find out that, "Man, I was a lot closer than I thought to being who God wants me to be." But it starts by you giving him permission to actually have some input into your life. Everything you've ever messed up, he's anxious to forgive. He wants to wipe the slate clean and give you a new start.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 945, and 1130. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'll leave you to think over these words from our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe.
For a lot of us, we've just become kind of busy and distracted and sometimes disappointed by things that don't work out the way we thought. Jaded, you know, bored, but at the same time antsy. And we're kind of like, we feel like, "Man, oh, I just keep flapping my wings, and but I'm not getting anywhere." It's so important for each of us to listen to God and boil your life down to, who are you really? What is your identity? What is your place? What's your nest that sometimes you've been wandering from? And to embrace the knowledge that I know who I am, and I can kind of describe it in two or three sentences, because this is who God's made me to be. This is what my life means. And then, yeah, you still fly, and you're still out there and picking up twigs and yarn and things like that to add to the nest, but it's not without a sense of purpose. It's with a sense of a plan that's in place. But the only way I know of to really discover that is by spending time with God, by letting him speak to you, by asking yourselves, "Where have I fooled myself? Where have I deluded myself? And where have I done things and it was like, wow, when I was doing that, it was just so easy. It was smooth. It was, you know, I liked it. Other people wouldn't want to do what I did, but when I did it, it was really fulfilling, even though it was hard and uncomfortable." To begin to put those pieces together is one of the greatest things we can do as people. To refuse to do that And to continue to live life randomly is to waste the gift of life. And life is precious. And it's so important that we figure out who we are and know where our nest is, know what our identity is, so that then we don't just spend our lives shiftlessly wandering everywhere and coming back tired and frustrated at the end of every day.
Once again, we hope and pray that you'll stop wandering and instead live life as God intended, with purpose and meaning. We'll see you back here tomorrow on The Balanced Word when Dave Rolfe will speak about education. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands. And yeah.